Wow. Just wow. Unbelievable news. You've probably heard. Hunter Biden is pleading guilty to some federal tax charges, misdemeanors. Hey, nothing to see here. Nothing to see at all. Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. And we're going to get into it in depth today because, well, we have to. This is really just so egregious in so many ways. And I know you maybe you're thinking, you know, poor kid. Biden's his father. Biden's the president. We're in a very divided country. But before you give him any pass on this, just consider what has been alleged. And the fact that we're not getting to the bottom of these allegations, well, I sure as heck, Kevin McCarthy is not kidding when he says he's not giving up. I sure as heck hope that David Weiss, the attorney that was prosecuting this case, was not kidding when he said that this is not a closed case. Because if you look at the media interpretation on all the liberal media right now, it's a done deal. It's over. They spent 5 years investigating. They came up with nothing. Meanwhile, you got the president saying this today.
I'm very proud of my son.
He's very proud of his son. He's very proud of his son. His son that, you know, I thought it was okay, I guess, to just skirt any federal income tax. I mean, that in and of itself, you know, normally I should point out, and we'll get to this. Normally, that's actually kind of a big deal. And yet, not in this case. Not in this case. We have so much to get into. I'm going to dive into the legal issues at stake here. We need to talk about what the Republican Party is planning, what the Democrats are actually now saying in response. It's poor Joe, poor Hunter. We need to talk about Donald Trump and what he's saying in reaction. I've got that for you. Plus he's out slamming Fox and poor Fox's ratings again. Meghan Markle, not only did she lose part of that $20 million deal, but there are massive new allegations about just exactly how she was conducting her show. We'll get into that too. And of course, horrible story there with that submarine up by the Titanic. We're getting some updates in on that, but just really, really sad stuff. Anyway, portions of the program are brought to you, as always, by Legacy Precious Metals, legacypminvestments.com. That's where you need to go if you are interested in investing in gold or silver, or call them at 1-866-589-0560. But wow, guys, I mean, this is unbelievable to me that with all of these allegations that have been put forth, we heard nothing on any of them. To think that Grassley's there, you know, on the floor saying, hey, we've got tapes, we've got some 17 recordings we've been told about, because, you know, the FBI was investigating whether or not there was any pay-to-play type thing, and there's no response from our federal government about all of that, and they want us to think that somehow this is just going to go away. I don't buy that. Anyway, here's Kevin McCarthy's reaction. It's now becoming, of course, political, because one side's saying, hey, wait a second, what do we live in, some kind of two-tier justice system? And the other side is saying, oh, can you believe those terrible, awful Republicans? How do they sleep at night? I think that was Claire McCaskill saying that. You know, how can they ever forgive themselves for going after Hunter Biden? I mean, this is just getting totally wild. I believe I have used the term banana republic in the past. Take a look here, Kevin McCarthy today.
My first reaction is it continues to show the two-tier system in America. If you are the president's leading political opponent, the DOJ tries to literally put you in jail and give you prison time. If you are the president's son, you get a sweetheart deal. Now, this does nothing to our investigation. It actually should enhance our investigation because the DOJ should not be able to withhold any information now, saying that because of pending investigation, they should be able to provide Chairman Comer with any information that he requires.
Really, I'm not so sure about that, though, because David Weiss is actually saying that the investigation is not closed. This is the lead investigator. So this is really kind of nutty stuff. You have the mainstream media portraying this as though it's over, right? Oh, there was nothing to see here. You have Hunter Biden's attorney, of course, sort of going along with that thesis. He actually said that he wouldn't have done a deal if he anticipated that there were more charges coming. He spoke just a short time ago on MSNBC, of course. Let's listen to what he had to say.
I want to get to what's fair and what the GOP is saying in a moment, but I'm hoping that you can bring us into the room when you reached this plea agreement with prosecutors. Did you sense that they were happy to be done with it, that there was frustration? What can you tell us about the negotiation to get to this point?
You know, I don't think it's appropriate to talk about my conversations with my adversaries. What I can tell you is, you know, they were very diligent, very dogged.
Of course he's saying that.
This was, you know, it took 5 years, and it was five years of work that they put in. And even throughout working out the ultimate resolution, I think that they were always driving for what they thought was fair.
5 years. NBC reports at times this was a counterintelligence investigation, that this was an investigation to FARA violations, which is how you register to work with a foreign government if you're an American citizen. Money laundering. Again, 5 years, and what they came up with is two misdemeanor tax counts.
That's the resolution we have, is that Mr. Biden's going to take responsibility for failing to timely pay his taxes for those 2 years, and there's going to be a diversion with regard to this 10-day period that he possessed a gun, and that is how the case is going to be resolved.
Wow. You heard Speaker McCarthy. Okay. Did you hear the long list? I mean, even MSNBC saying, hey, wait a second. This was a counterintelligence investigation. There were all these allegations. We know what the allegations were, right? Remember, this is the pay-to-play thing with Burisma. Wow. And he's like, yep, you know, they looked into it for 5 years, and this is what we got. Misdemeanors. Okay, let's just back up, and let's talk about, for example, what that really, really would mean. I mean, if you're skirting taxes like that, normally, it's actually a more serious charge to begin with. And yet he didn't even get that. By the way, just great to have you all here. I you know, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, I encourage you to come over to YouTube or onto Facebook, where we are live every single day. And I'm looking at your comments and hearing your questions. And it's always great to connect in this way. So if you are listening on the podcast, do me that favor, come over, subscribe to the YouTube channel, the Trish Regan channel. You can follow me on Facebook at Real Trish Regan. But this is just incredible, incredible stuff. And I can't wait to talk with you guys directly about it. Again, as I see so many familiar faces here, Greg, good to see you again. And Elisa, good to see you as well. We've got Abel here as well. Really, this blows me away. The idea that they're not addressing the elephant in the room, which is Burisma. Well, you know, hey, like, let's just face it. If the tables were turned, if this was Don Jr., forget about it, right? I mean, this is really kind of wacky stuff. And I think the American people deserve answers on the rest of what was being investigated. We know that the FBI was investigating it. And yet think about what happened back during the election. During the election, it was fake news. We heard MSNBC and many others tell us over and over and over again, right? That was all fake news. That was somehow misinformation that was being thrown into the marketplace by none other than Russia. Russia disinformation. And yet it turned out there was an investigation going on. So wouldn't it be helpful to America, David Weiss, to actually address those charges, to maybe come forward and say, hey, we didn't find anything there? Instead, you hit them with a couple of misdemeanors. This is really something. And I do want to just point out that the idea is he's going to hopefully avoid jail time here. Weiss's office has agreed to recommend a sentence of probation as part of the plea agreement. This is according to someone who's familiar with the deal telling the Wall Street Journal, but the judge, of course, will ultimately decide the sentence. But now you get the government saying, okay, well, let's go, you know, with some leniency on him. And I guess I'm just shocked because most federal tax prosecutions do involve felony charges. You know, if you're talking about tax fraud, if you're talking about tax evasion, those are pretty serious things. And those aren't really just like misdemeanors. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Martha Stewart got worse. Now, granted, you know, there was lying and all that kind of thing, and that was ultimately what did Martha Stewart in. But, you know, they can go after you pretty hard on the tax stuff, and yet they're not here. The weapon thing, two counts of willful failure to pay federal income tax. That is what he's pleading guilty to, and he faces a minimum prison sentence of a year, as I said, but it's expected that that is going to be seen with some leniency. So that's not actually going to happen. And then there was the weapon that apparently he had and it wasn't registered. And he allegedly, well, I guess he's admitted this now. It might have been on something at the time. I mean, I'm just really stunned that no one has done a better job at coming forward from our government to say, whatever happened to all those other charges? And how is that? Where's the closure on that? I mean, could they not even at least say, hey, we didn't find anything? Right? Great to see, again, all of you guys just looking at all that you're saying and you're pointing out that, yeah, other people have certainly suffered worse fates for evading taxes. I mean, he's the president's son. All right. And the president is in charge of the DOJ. Now, they will argue, hey, look, it's the same investigator. David Weiss was appointed under Trump. So it's not like we changed investigators. But can you imagine the pressure right now? Think about it. I mean, think about what happened during the election and those 51 ex-spies, those spooks that came out, total political hacks, and issued that letter to Politico saying, oh, there's nothing to see here. No, Hunter Biden's not being investigated by the FBI when in fact he was. So you can understand why the American public has more questions. But no, they just want to make it like those bad, bad conservatives, those Republicans, look at what they're doing. Look at what they're doing to Hunter Biden. And you see the president, of course, carrying on that narrative. All he's saying is, I'm so proud of my son. I'm proud of my... You're proud of him? Really? Like, I'm not so sure you should be so proud of him, sir. This was him on MSNBC, the president of the United States, just a few months ago with the same sort of train of thought. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him. But he also said something else pretty interesting. And this, I promise you, is going to come back to haunt him. Watch.
First of all, my son's done nothing wrong. I trust him. I have faith in him. And it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of.
The reporter had asked, hey, you know, how does this impact your presidency? His response is, it just makes me more proud, right? It impacts me by making me more proud of my son. And he did say he did nothing wrong. Well, if he did nothing wrong, why is he pleading to these two minor charges? I mean, again, generally, when you have a federal tax prosecution involving, you know, tax fraud and invasion, it's kind of a bigger deal. And this one, for whatever reason, I'll leave that to you guys, okay? We can talk about that. Why do you think Hunter's getting effectively away with this? Now, again, if somebody had come forward and said, listen, we investigated all of this. We listened to those Burisma tapes that Grassley is talking about. We made sure that, yes, he was qualified to sit on the board and get $600,000 a year to work at Burisma, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if someone would just come forward and actually present the case and say, hey, look, we've looked into it and there's definitely nothing here, that's one thing. But instead, they do this deal and then we're just left hanging. So Kevin McCarthy is saying, hey, you know, maybe it's good because now they can't say they can't turn over evidence because we're in the middle of an investigation. And yet what does David Weiss, the prosecuting attorney, do but say, hey, this is still an ongoing investigation. So I don't know. Are you confused? I'm confused. Are you annoyed? I'm annoyed. We deserve so much better than this. We really, really do. And I think we need to be asking the right questions here. It blows me away that they wouldn't have more transparency at all. Leslie, good to see you here again. Like I said, so many familiar faces here in the chat faces. I can't see you, but I do see your comments and appreciate all of them. I really, I woke up this morning early. This came in, what do we think? Like maybe around like 9, 10 a.m. It crossed. It's all a blur now. You see? And I'm like, wow. Okay. So he pleads guilty. That was the clickbait, right? So you click on it. And you're like, wow. To what? He pleads guilty to a couple of misdemeanors and we have no resolution as to the rest of the case. You can understand why people are saying, gee, it feels kind of like a two-tiered system. I mean, is it because he just rolled over and played dead and was like, here, what do you want me to do? I don't think so. I don't think he was especially cooperative with authorities. But, you know, it does feel like a two-tiered system in that if this were Don Jr., if this were if it were Jared Kushner, I suspect there would be people, you know, effectively looking for blood and they would say, hey, you know, I need clarity. I need transparency. And yet again, we are not getting any of it. So it will become more and more a political issue. I hate to see that because you know what? We're divided enough, but what's fair is fair. And this does not strike me as fair. And by the way, if it is fair, then the onus is on the government now and on the Democrats to prove it instead of just saying, oh, the Republicans are so bad. Can you imagine they're going after Joe Biden's son? Well, the reason they're going after him is because there's some pretty sketchy stuff that seem to have gone that people are asking, understandably, all these allegations. And I'll point out they're still allegations because I'm not like the left who took that dossier and made it somehow truth. I mean, they were saying like this stuff happened. Allegations that need to be addressed about Hunter Biden and his dad. I mean, sorry, this isn't going to cut it. And it's going to make Americans more and more mad. Let me get to Donald Trump's response. He was out on his social media platform today. He's actually also doing another interview with Fox and, part two, I guess. He sat down with Brett Baer over at Fox and it's pretty funny. I'm going to get to that later in the show because he just slams Fox and the ratings, which we all know about, right? We all know about that, but he really was calling balls and strikes on the ratings there and did so to Brett's face. It's interesting to me. I'm assuming that was a taped interview since we're seeing part two today. And so it's interesting to me that Fox did allow that to run. Maybe they wanted people to see that. I have no idea. But anyway, he did come out with a reaction to what we have seen here on social media, saying a sweetheart deal for Hunter and Joe as they continue their quest to get Trump, Joe's political opponent. We are now a third world country. I mean, that third world stuff, it's starting to resonate in some alarming and sort of scary ways because I was using that ages ago, actually during the actual election. You know, as we went into 2020, you had Hillary Clinton actually out on a podcast with one of her friends saying, listen, no matter what, you cannot surrender. No matter what's going on, you actually have to continue. You cannot actually concede. You have to continue fighting. So she was making this statement before the election actually happened. And I remember bringing this to you guys and saying, listen, this is kind of peculiar because we're supposed to count the votes, right? And you know, Hillary was saying, nah, you're not going to concede. You're not going to concede no matter what. You know, you really have to fight on this one. And that struck me way back when as being extremely banana republic-like. And now there's just been a succession of things. And I'm not here to defend Trump. You know, look, I think his policies were absolutely spot on. I think he's a very gifted person in terms of being able to connect with people and his audience. But he comes with some baggage, shall we say, and you kind of got to know what you're signing up for and that he can rub some people the wrong way. He can also really, really excite people. In the television business, they call it Q score. Like, how is somebody's Q score? And the Q score is their sort of highs and lows. And do people really love them, really hate them? And the higher your Q score, it's usually because you're like a high beta stock, right? Up and down. And the response from people is pretty significant. So he carries that with him for sure, but his policies were always really, really spot on. And so maybe in retrospect, I don't know. I don't know the particulars of the case. He's saying like it was, you know, his socks and some gym clothes, not gym clothes. I'm putting words in his mouth because I'm pretty sure he doesn't go to the gym, but it's just personal belongings inside those 120 boxes. And so it's a sticking point there. But is he being treated the same as Hunter? It's a question people are going to continue to ask, and they rightly should. They rightly should. I mean, I'm really just blown away by all of this. And so good, as I said, to see so many of you, Willie, pointing out that it feels like we're becoming more and more like Venezuela. I have said that in the past. It's a really important time. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, please make sure you do, because it's really important. I think just that we're all able to communicate with one another as we go into 2024. I love having you guys here. Please make sure you hit the subscribe button. Later on, we'll have some clips and stuff, and it would be great if you could share them. Also make comments below, because I do actually read all of those comments, and I appreciate hearing from you guys always. And we've got some more to get to. I don't want to just do this because there's other things going on and there's some fun stuff. Meghan Markle, for goodness sakes. I mean, these new allegations are really quite something. I want to get to the sound of Donald Trump slamming Fox right on their air. Pretty, pretty amazing stuff. But before I do all that, and before I go out and take some of your comments and questions, I will say, like, some of you have been so kind, and I'm seeing some comments still again about you've been so kind to me. And in your comments below, many of you have said wonderful things. And I get a little bit of attention, shall I say, on my appearance. And I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's a very positive reaction. I, of course, appreciate that. And it leads me actually to a brand new advertiser that we're thrilled to bring on, because this is a company that I actually started. Well, I was taking what's called Strong Sell. And I think it's just amazing, because I know that, you know, hey, like, certainly for me, like, I'm so busy, right? I do 20 zillion different things, and I'm a mom, and I'm with my family, and I'm doing the podcast, and I'm trying to get to the gym every day and drink my water. Yes, this really is water. And I want to do everything I can to take care of myself and to make sure that I'm my healthiest for myself, for you guys here every day, and for my kids. And so I've really prioritized health in a very big way. And so I started taking a supplement, NADH, actually. NADH is what it is. It's made by Strong Cell, which has been phenomenal. Like, I really have felt like laser focused. I mean, I've always been pretty focused. That's sort of, you know, I think it's, if you're in television, you probably are very focused. You're used to having to be live and talk with people and stay focused on an interview. So I've always had the ability to focus, but this is really just enhanced it, because it's focused with energy and it's not caffeine. I don't love caffeine. I do drink coffee, but I don't like to drink it all day. And so I don't want any kind of stimulant that would affect me. And so I turned to this NADH, manufactured by Strong Cell. I've taken it maybe 5-6 weeks now, and I feel great. And again, I appreciate the nice comments that you guys make, but I think that this has really been a part of it. It's about improving your cellular health. And I don't, you know, pretend to understand all the science on this stuff, other than the studies have shown that there's anti-aging properties with NADH, and our bodies actually lose this as we grow older and as we age. And so what Strong Cell is actually trying to do is somehow re-engineer our bodies to replenish that really vital element. So it's pretty neat. It's also got marine collagen and some other things, which are vitamins, minerals, all that stuff. And I think keeps me really healthy and focused and energetic, which, believe me, I need with everything going on in the busy life that I live. So I wanted to tell you guys about it. Again, we welcome them as an advertiser on the Trish Regan Show. And I was able to get a discount for y'all. It's not cheap. It's a bit on the expensive side, but this will help. If you use my name, code word Trish, you can get 20% off. Just go to strongcell.com/Trish. And we're going to talk, here's some more, about Donald Trump and what he had to say to Brett Baer's face. It's pretty good. I got to show you this clip. But before we do that, have you guys seen all the Meghan Markle stuff? So I've never been much of a fan. I never watched that show Suits either. I might have caught a few episodes back when she was on it. I guess that was her claim to fame before marrying Prince Harry. And, you know, I do get that she's an actress. She's not a journalist. But there's new allegations about her out that are pretty astounding. I'll get to that. But first, did you hear what Bill Simmons said? I have to be careful on this because we're trying to keep it clean, you know, for the kids out there. But listen to Bill Simmons. This is the guy who is over at Spotify. He runs their sort of monetization unit. He's trying to help them make money off of their podcasts. And apparently they didn't consult him when they brought in Meghan Markle and her husband. They, you know, what did they do? Like a $20 million deal? And so now they're cutting it short. They did lots of deals with sort of big time liberal influencers. And not all of these have panned out. I mean, Michelle Obama comes to mind as well. So anyway, Bill Simmons, who's helping Spotify to monetize their podcasts, had this to say about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. I'm going to play it for you.
I'm going to pose this question to you. You do a lot of business deals, a lot of negotiations.
I do.
Well, let's just.
I wish I'd been involved in the Meghan and Harry leave Spotify negotiation. We should have launched with them. I got to get drunk.
Oh, so he goes on. He's like, you know, I got to have a few and we'll talk about this some more. So he had some interesting things to say. He kind of just teased that out there. But a lot of people are talking about it and they're talking about it because, hey, you know, what exactly was he inferring there? Look, more and more has come out. I would say this. This one kind of shocked me. It has not been confirmed, so I just want to be careful about this, but it is being reported in the Daily Mail and the New York Post. Many organizations have reached out to Meghan Markle and her team for comment because the allegation is that in some cases her producers were doing the interview and that she was just dubbed in after the fact with the questions. I mean, that's kind of really, I mean, like, again, you know, I'm a journalist and what you see is what you get. And I'm not going to dub in questions or have a producer do an interview. I mean, that's kind of very, very strange stuff. But when you look at the podcast overall that she had, it felt very acted. It's very different than, say, what we're doing right here. There's no scripts. There's no teleprompter. I'm just talking to you. I'm looking at your comments as well. We're talking, we're having a conversation, and it's very impromptu, right? Like, that's kind of what podcasting was supposed to be and still is. And that's sort of the beauty of it, right? It's very genuine. And I think people like that. But this was anything but genuine. I'm going to credit Candace Owens and Daily Wire for finding the best clip ever. Listen to this. This is a portion of Meghan Markle's show. And you tell me why this thing was canceled.
I was 14. I planned my wedding. Not my actual wedding. That would have been a bit harder to imagine. This wedding was an assignment for my Religion 2 class in Catholic school. At no point could you say, nope, mm-mm. My dream for the future is to be single. The message, even at my feminist all-girls school, was as traditional as it gets. First comes love, then comes marriage.
Can you imagine listening to that for an hour in all seriousness? I mean, can you imagine? And you wonder why. You wonder why they canceled her show. You wonder why she was not able to monetize that program. You wonder why now there's these allegations that she wasn't even, in some cases, doing the interviews. No. A producer would write out the questions. They would ask the questions to the guests, at which point she would then later on come in and, I guess, dub in. It's like old-fashioned movies or something, dub in the questions. I mean, if that is true, my gosh, like, how low can you go? And clearly, you don't understand the podcasting industry or the sort of the style, right, that we're in. I'm not going to, pretend she's a journalist. She's not. And actually, Spotify should be careful with this. because they bring in these people that they think have all this liberal clout that really are not that authentic. You wanted to, again, if these allegations are true, it's just the height of phoniness. Totally, totally, totally phony. So it was a horrible show. There are allegedly fake interviews in it. And the guy who ran the monetization for all of Spotify was like, oh my gosh, these people were such a disaster. We should have named it the effing grifters. All right, here's another good one. Let's talk about Donald Trump and his interview there on Fox, that network we don't really, really like to talk about.
That you believe that they're political witch hunts.
Of course.
But what do you say to the voter who really liked many of your policies?
They still do.
But they can't handle the scandal.
Okay, it gets even better. He cites his polls and he said, you know, like, I'm doing great. You know, the polls, they still like my policies and I can beat Biden. And then somehow, some way, the Fox host takes this weird detour and gives his network this giant plug about how great they're doing with independents. Well, watch what Donald Trump says in response.
I have the best polls I've ever had. People see this stuff for what it is. It's a political witch hunt. It's a continuation.
More independent voters watch Fox News than any other TV source.
A lot less than used to watch it.
They do watch. Those voters usually make up.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah. You know, calling it like it is. Unfortunately for Fox, the ratings are down significantly. I have not checked the latest numbers, but I did see some recently that suggested they had lost basically half their audience in primetime. They've lost audience share elsewhere as well. I mean, I think a lot of people are just going out and sampling. You're coming here, which is, it's great to have you. You're subscribing to the channel, and we are seeing enormous growth as a result of it. Just enormous growth. Oh my goodness. I hit 75K. I hit 70. I think that we deserve some kind of round of applause, right? 75K. That applause is actually for you guys right now, because it's thanks to you that just in the last couple of months, we have really just exploded here. So thank you for that. Again, if you haven't subscribed, do. But I think what Trump kind of was getting at was, yeah, you guys don't quite have the ratings that you used to. I think he does have a very, very loyal base. And look, all the polls right now still have him way out in front, certainly in the Republican field. Now, Ron DeSantis polling in New Hampshire, this is amazing to me. He just keeps going down. It's like the more America sees of him, the less they want of him. And New Hampshire, where he might have had a fighting chance before, suggests that no, he's actually doing worse. It's a very interesting thing. He might be too socially conservative for New Hampshire. That's my home state. Live free or die is on every single license plate. Same as my cup here, my mug. Live free or die, it's just an expression I grew up with and I love, and I think is really the embodiment of that state. And it's great because every 4 years they really matter. Little tiny state, and like every 4 years they matter. They get to have a say in what is happening on the national stage for our election. It's changed a lot. You know, if you think about all the people that are moving up from Massachusetts, I think Florida, Texas are other states, right, that are going to face these risks as we move forward. But sort of the diehard granite staters are very much live free or die. It's like, just don't tax me, okay? Please, guys, don't tax me. And so I think his economic policies were very much appreciated in the state of New Hampshire. And that's perhaps why now, when you look at Ron DeSantis, why he's falling in those polls. But nationwide, we're seeing the same exact thing. So Trump keeps pulling ahead further, and I suspect this issue here with Hunter Biden is going to help him even more, because mainstream Americans are going to see this and say, but wait a second, wasn't the FBI investigating all that other stuff? Whatever happened to all that other stuff? And why does he get off the hook if anybody else was evading taxes? They'd actually be facing, you know, a pretty strict situation. And it's something that, you know, I just don't think anybody's going to totally miss. As much as the Democrats will try to convince you that it's just really terrible, mean Republicans. And that's where we are sort of in this environment right now, which is just incredibly sad. incredibly sad because we ought to be talking about tax policy. We ought to be talking about China. Anthony Blinken was just over there. We ought to be talking about Ukraine and Russia and like, how do we get out of that situation, right? Because it's never good. It's never good when people are dying. How do we put in place more diplomacy and more financial diplomacy? I talk about this because, hey, I would so much rather lose money, dollars, than lives. What can we be doing that's innovative to actually come up with solutions to put pressure on countries that aren't really doing what we want? If we want them to behave a certain way, are there financial sort of carrots and sticks that you should be using? That was actually something that came quite naturally to Donald Trump. And he's like, okay, I'm going to tariff them. I'm going to tariff them some more. And, you know, look, I would say at some point those tariffs can accumulate enough that it becomes more of a problem. And you find yourself in a situation that could lead to war. And that's terrible. I mean, you think about some of the tariffs that were put in place, ahead of World War II, et cetera, from an economic history perspective. We've seen that often these financial struggles can lead to war clashes, and you don't like that. But hey, why aren't you using every financial tool in your arsenal before you actually are seeing these wars break out? Now, fortunately, we don't have anybody there in Ukraine. We don't have our own troops there, but I just question why we wouldn't have tried to find a more diplomatic solution in some way, shape, or form, because my heart breaks for all those lives that are being lost. It's pretty darn sad to see. In other news, speaking of sad to see, these rescue crews for the submarine that's caught near the Titanic are not really turning up anything very encouraging right now. You've likely seen all of these headlines, and the oxygen is running out. The submarine lost contact with the mothership, and so there's really no way for it to navigate itself. And you're talking about 12,000 feet below sea level. Well, we can't actually get any submarines down that far because the technology doesn't really exist. I guess this company had some very special technology. It cost $250,000 a ticket, apparently, to go on this expedition. We've learned that there were some very wealthy people, a gentleman and his son from Pakistan. There was a very wealthy billionaire entrepreneur that was on this as well. We know that the CEO of the company was there. It's just so horrible when you hear this. And yet, you know, you wonder why sometimes people are willing to take these incredible risks. I'm sure it's very exciting, but that is a risk. I don't know about you guys. I just never, ever would take. I'm also like not one to want to go to space. As much as I'm interested in it, and we just had Avi Loeb, the professor of astrophysics from Harvard University, on the show the other day. As much as I find it very interesting to talk about, I have absolutely no interest in going, and I have no interest in going in a submarine where your oxygen supply is limited and you might actually lose contact with the mothership. Right? Anyway, that's in the news today as well. But obviously, the biggest story remains Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden, whose dad is just so proud of him. So proud.
I'm very proud of my son.
Proud of him for tax evasion. Proud of him because, I don't know, did he evade prison time by getting some kind of sweetheart deal? I think it certainly looks that way. And until we actually have answers, and I mean real answers, about everything that supposedly they were looking into, I don't think the American people are going to be satisfied. Because these are serious allegations. I mean, you've put effectively, you know, espionage there in front of the former president. And yet, it's a big if in fact there was a quid pro quo or there was money being exchanged for access, as it has been alleged and as the FBI was investigating, then why on earth aren't we getting any answers into that? And I sure as heck hope Kevin McCarthy can do his job and get more information now that the investigation isn't happening, except, oh, silly me, David Weiss says it is still an ongoing investigation. Wow, talking about being tripped up in technicalities, talking about, you know, looking at a situation that is just really banana republic-like, Americans are not going to forget this, are they? I know you guys aren't. Oh, David, thank you so much. It's great to have you here. I'm trying to, forgive me on my technology front. I know that, like, if sometimes you guys weigh in with a comment, I'm supposed to put your comment up on the screen, but I don't quite know how to do that. So I see it and I appreciate it because, you know, it's wonderful, as I said, to see this kind of support from all of you and to know that you are here on the channel, subscribing to the channel. So many people have said to me lately, oh my gosh, I just found you. Where have you been? It's like, I've been here. I've had the podcast. You know, I started the podcast in August of 2020, but it's a hard thing to grow. And I'm a big believer in organic growth. And I want to make sure that everybody who's here is really here. And so in this organic fashion, we've just been plodding along and we're now at 75K. So 75,000 followers on YouTube. I'm so excited because we had 25,000 there on Facebook. And it's just wonderful to see that kind of support for the show. And I think that so many of us are on the same page. I want to get to Abel's question here. He's asking whether or not RFK will survive long enough. I don't know if you guys saw the other day, RFK, who probably is the biggest threat to Joe Biden right now. He said on Joe Rogan's podcast that, look, you know, he's surprised that big government doesn't take him out. I'm saying that nicely. I think he said, you know, he's surprised like the CIA doesn't kill him. So it was quite a statement. And I do think that RFK represents a massive threat. Look, anybody who comes in as that third party candidate that would actually get a ton of support from the left represents a huge threat. Because how can Joe Biden win if any of those people that are not diehard liberals actually go for somebody in the middle? Hey, where's Bernie Sanders when you need him? Our favorite socialist, right? So this is something that is going to kind of be a thorn in the Democrat side. I wonder if they'll make some kind of deal with RFK to go nicely away. You know, hope that they can actually run Joe Biden and that he will win. I think it's going to be hard. I think that they made the mistake in the past, certainly in 2016, of underestimating Donald Trump. Now, at the time, you had the candidate Hillary Clinton, who on paper seemed very qualified, if you like all that stuff, former Secretary of State, but she couldn't kind of get out from under all the allegations of corruption with the Clinton Global Initiative and her charity. And then, of course, the whole bleach bit of the server that she had in her house and the idea that somehow a Secretary of State had a server in her own house. I mean, that was a little out there because, you know, I think we all worry about internet security, like, period, right, in our own homes. If you're actually working for the government, if you're the Secretary of State, well, you really want to have the government there involved, making sure that you're not hacked into in any way. I mean, to think of how that all went down, if you recall, her aide, Uma Abedin, got an email that was sent to her, and then somehow it winds up in Anthony Weiner's possession and his computer laptop. I mean, it was just this wild, wild situation. And she got off pretty easy, too. You know what's also interesting about that? Do you recall Donald Trump did not actually make a huge push to go after her? He could have. And I remember talking to him about it at the time. And he said, like, look, you know, it is what it is. Like, we don't want to, I'm paraphrasing right now, but he sort of effectively said, we don't want to be that country that always just goes and puts their former leaders in jail. Because I don't know, that might make us feel a little bit like Brazil, where actually both the former presidents, Dilma Rousseff and Lula, who's now president again, go figure, wound up in jail. I mean, that's not where we want to head, folks. And look, as far as Hunter Biden goes, I wish him very well. And if he was able to get off sort of legally on just these, you know, few little things, fine. But I'm left as an American saying, what about everything else? I'm left as a journalist saying, what about everything else? Don't we deserve answers given these allegations that are out there? And if you don't think we do, then that in and of itself is a massive, massive problem. So I'm very animated and very, very concerned about this right now, as you can probably tell. I'm very worried about our country. I'm very worried about the division. I'm very worried about what does appear to be a two-tiered system. And unless they come forward and they explain what the heck happened with Burisma, what the heck Grassley's tapes are that he's talking about, I want them to get those and release those tapes, by the way. Unless they actually do that, then I think we're going to be having a situation where we just continually do not trust our government. If you see me on the show looking off to the side, it's because, again, I am looking at all of your comments and so appreciate you guys being here. And thank you for the congrats on the 75K. Yeah, it's a big deal. We got to get to 100, though. We got to get to 100. As I said, Facebook the other day, we came out somewhere around 25,000 that were watching. So, hey, we're growing and every bit matters. We want to be able to continue speaking the truth and asking the right questions. I mean, these were some allegations that were thrown out there and they were being investigated and we have no closure on them and we deserve it. Do we not? I believe we do. And I think that it shouldn't have to take an election to get there. No. Definitely not. Anyway, so great to have you here. Really wonderful. Always good to see every single one of you. Please do me the favor of subscribing. Go over to the Apple Podcasts and follow the podcast. It would be great to have you there as well. It's audio, so you can listen to it in the car. Or you can, you know, if you go for a walk, it would be great to have you there. And if you could also give it 5 stars and a nice comment. Anyway, as I said, so great to have all of you guys here. I appreciate it. And we will talk tomorrow. I am going to stay on this. We can't let it go.